Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Well, it's been a sad week for music, everyone.
Yeah, we have to start out with the headline.
Yep.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Daft Punk.
Mm-hmm.
end of an era.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously, end of an era. At least, as far as we're concerned, there isn't really any connection between Daft Punk and Eurovision. So
actually, guys?
No.
God.
No.
Right.
I mean, really, there's...
And welcome to another Daft episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, the country your country could smell like. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Remember that slogan?
I do.
Wow.
That was the thing.
I'm just imagining. I'm okay with that as long as the image of shirtless Isaiah Mustafa is back in my brain.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to be... Some of the songs that we're going to be talking about this week will definitely bring me back to a time when I was much less mature. So...
I'm still thinking about shirtless Isaiah Mustafa.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, do you need a minute? Should we roll the music again?
Yeah, let's.
All right, here we go.
Oh, great. I got that out of my system. Feeling a little bit better. In the meantime, you can reach out to us on social media on either Twitter or Facebook at 12pointsUSA. Hit us up directly on email at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Scope out our website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. Or if you want to support our site, scope out our Redbubble. We've got all sorts of really crazy, crazy goodies that you can purchase for yourself.
Cover your face with our image as God intended. I don't know. Just do it. Buy it. Buy our crap. It's great. It's great crap. I have some of it.
Is it good crap?
It's the best crap. Oh man, the crap that I have. Anyway, Daft Punk.
Yeah.
There's a connection to Daft Punk.
But
like,
yeah,
for real.
Believe it or not, there actually is a Daft Punk connection. It is, of course, through a French song. Back in 2008, the song Divine by Sébastien Tellier. The entire album that the song Divine was on, Tellier's album Sexuality, was actually produced by Guy-Manuel de Homem Christo, who was one half of the now recently separated Daft Punk. So cool. So cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That's a weird connection.
I'll take it. Like,
I really thought that we were clear of like Eurovision connection to
It's everywhere. You can't escape it.
But
no matter how hard you try.
Turns out.
Yeah.
If there's a connection, damn it, you know I'll find it.
We could literally like wake up tomorrow and one of the guys from Slipknot will be dead and Sam will be like, noted Eurovision. Noted Eurovision participant, Iowa mask face.
Well, you know, after a member of Black Sabbath wrote a song for Armenia in 2013, nothing surprises me
You're
anymore.
Kidding.
Yeah,
You're
Tommy
kidding.
Iommi wrote Lonely
what?
Planet for Armenia. Yeah.
Right. No.
Yeah. I kid you
wow.
not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good times.
All right. I'm going to think of another thing. What is the connection between Eurovision and
a Brunswick stew?
Oh, I was going to say Action Park, the New Jersey Devil.
I would probably be the closest thing to it, wouldn't it?
I suppose.
I am the New Jersey native here.
Did you ever go to Action Park?
No, my parents were sane and probably wouldn't let my brother and I. We were more of a Six Flags Great Adventure or occasionally Rye Playland on the other side of the New York border. That was our...
Rye Playland?
Yeah, in Rye, New York, yeah.
Okay, I'm right. not familiar.
It's...
All the rides are bread themed.
Yep.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. The crazy mouse is all made of pumpernickel.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I'm sold.
The ciabatta log flume didn't last too long. Got soggy as hell.
Oh,
yep.
There were no survivors. Anyway, we've got a burning question, as we always do. This one is coming from Jose Rivera. Jose Rivera, thank you so much for listening to the show and for sending in this great question, which is, what is your favorite Eurovision debut entry?
So he gave us his own two favorites, Bosnia and Herzegovina in 1993, which I believe was Svavol Svieta by Fazla, and the following year, the Polish entry, which was actually a silver medalist that year, the song Tonia, which is really a bit of a classic. So guys, what are your picks? What are your favorites?
Well, first off, Poland didn't debut until 1994.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know there was sort of an Iron Curtain sort of a thing, right?
Basically.
But I'm still weirdly surprised by that.
Yep, it took quite a while. I'm not sure if they took part in the sort of the Soviet Intervision contest or anything like that. But yeah, Poland took until 94.
I don't think there was a more balls out crazy debut than Azerbaijan in 2008 with their song Day After Day by Elner and Samir, which is just the craziest damn thing I've ever seen.
What genre is this?
It's
all of them.
Opera.
Oh, it's all of them. I see. Okay. It's reggae. It's a third wave ska. They're
polka,
not that different.
For some reason.
Polka, yeah.
Would you say it is truly an Azerbaijan genre?
Yes.
How well did it do?
Came in eighth, so pretty well considering.
Considering.
Yeah,
beginner's luck.
I'll say this, after their debut, what is it? They had five songs in a row in the top five, which is kind of insane to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, Day After Day combined opera and Azeri folk music called Mugen?
Mugam, yeah.
Sorry, my pronunciation's terrible.
Yeah.
But like one guy was an angel, one guy was in a devil, and it just, I mean, they went all in on this. They were not messing around from the go, and I kind of appreciate that.
It was over the top insane. It was crazy.
Yeah, more countries need to do that.
Yeah, it was really one of those situations where Azerbaijan entered the contest and said, yeah, we are here and you are going to pay some freaking attention to us. And they did, you know.
Azerbaijan was the Sharpay of Eurovision.
If I recall correctly, it was entirely produced by Azerbaijani, like, songwriting and production team, right?
I think it was almost entirely in-house, yeah.
Yeah, because I know they've reached out in other years. But I think this one, like just looking at the Wikipedia here, it looks like the lyricists and everything were, they all look like locals. So,
yeah, generally they, like you said, they do reach for Swedish composers or other nations as well. But yeah, it was probably the most Azerbaijani sounding of their entries, which I give them credit for. Yeah,
they don't need no symphonics.
Truth.
You son of a.
Yep.
All right, I'm not too. You know, I'm not too steeped in Eurovision's past. Be able to pull out all of these debuts. But this does give me the opportunity to talk up one of the things that I feel like used to be my favorite thing to talk about that I don't get the opportunity to talk about all the time. It's Morocco. The debut and only showing from Morocco, which is a song I have on, like, I think my Eurovision adjacent playlist. Just like, you know, because Morocco just decided to be in Eurovision in 1980 and then never decided to be in it again. I think it was called Bitakat Hub. It's not a wildly great song, but it's easily the best song that Morocco has ever sent to Eurovision.
There can be no debate.
Like the Azerbaijan, like what you are describing from Azerbaijan's debut, it also seems to have, ooh, let's do a couple of genres. And those genres are disco, kind of like pop-adjacent rock, and whatever the genre is that sounds like the intro to a late 70s cop show.
All in Arabic.
Yeah. And it's all in Arabic. Yeah.
It's a bop. It honestly is.
It's not terrible. It's not great. But it is worth a listen. It is a jewel in Eurovision's unique crown.
Do you think we'll ever see them back?
I hope so. Morocco's a weird one, though, you know? Like,
yeah. I think it would have to take
Lebanon before we get
Morocco. That's more problematic.
We almost had Lebanon once.
I know.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about it on the show.
Yeah. I think it would really have to depend on the relationship between Morocco and Israel, and I'm not really sure. I'm no diplomat. I don't know the inner workings of international relationships between Israel and members of North Africa and the Levant, other than but yeah,
I feel like Morocco has a fairly good relationship. They
better
had a
than
substantial
many.
Jewish population for a while. I
mean,
don't know
Turkey
what it's like
is
now.
Always the one teasing us. I don't think Turkey's coming back anytime soon.
Not so much. But I mean, honestly, this discussion point about Morocco and Israel brings me to one of my two answers for this. And it is Israel. Their 1973 debut, the song Esham by Ilanit,
that was their debut.
That was their debut.
Did I know this one?
So good. So good. And it had that sort of early 70s kind of Carly Simon, Carole King vibe with a little bit more push and epicness behind it that just hits my ear just right. Also, the fact that it was one of the first entries to feature a female conductor. I think it was technically the second ever, and that's only because they were later on in the running order than the first.
I forget they were all, like, they were all unique conductors for the orchestra.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Israel would have been the second, Nurit Hirsch, but the Swedish entry was, you know, a couple songs before them in the running order, and technically put them to the post. But, yeah, Israel in 73, Esham, is one of my absolute favorites ever.
What a decade for Israel, too.
It really was. Like, by the time the decade had ended, they had won it twice in a row, which is incredible. My runner-up for Best Debuting Nation, kind of in a similar vein to what Derek had said about Azerbaijan making a splash, Georgia the following year the previous year, my apologies, in 2007, their song Visionary Dream by Sofa Kalbashi was a great blend of pop and electronica and traditional Georgian elements that was, it just swept me up. It just really, really swept me up. The only thing that could have made it more Georgian was actually singing in Georgian. You know, you can't have it all. But they had sword fighting on stage. They had, you know, beautiful women in gorgeous red gown. They had, you know.
Was she sword fighting?
She was not, but they were sword fighting around her, which
boring.
I will take.
Fax me when we get a gorgeous woman sword fighting.
All right. Well, we'll see what we'll see who's dancing behind Tourniquet this year, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Him. He's back.
He is back.
Oh, man. He's going to be very back.
Angrier than ever.
Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, Georgia 2007. Come on. Eric?
Well, first of all, I cannot believe that none of you, especially Derek, said Australia.
It was my second choice.
Oh, okay. That would have been my top five. Yeah. I had like three or four other songs I'd love to talk about.
It's probably in my top one or two as well. I mean, Guy Sebastian.
Forget about the non-European country that almost won Eurovision on its first try.
Second.
And then again on its second. Yeah. That is an incredible song. Like they really took that opportunity seriously and they really went for it. And they pretty much always have really gone for it. I mean, there isn't a super weak song in the bunch, I don't think.
Mm.
I was not big on We Found Love or We Got
My
Love.
Boy.
We Got Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, Just My
really,
Boy.
Didn't really like that one. But the others have all been anywhere from solid to amazing, really. You could argue that Dami Im maybe should have won in 2016 because that performance is just stunning. My other one, though, another one that I'm kind of surprised hasn't come up, and this was a country that had performed in a few other capacities before its debut in its current state, but Molitva from Serbia.
Of course.
Was their first entry as Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought the damn house down. I think in a recent episode, I threw out the possibility that it's the best ballad in Eurovision history. And I still kind of stand by that. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. And it was, I didn't know this until I looked into this question, which was great, by the way. Thank you again for putting this out there. That this was, again, they'd performed as Serbia and Montenegro. There had been Serbian songs when they performed as Yugoslavia and so on. But just Serbia, this was their first entry. And talk about starting out with a bang. My goodness.
Yeah. No, it absolutely was. And honestly, the debut entry for Serbia and Montenegro is a united 2-in-1 nation. That was Lane Moje, which is one of the most beautiful Balkan ballads in Eurovision history. So, I mean, there's some pedigree behind there. I also want to do a quick sort of shout out to some other ones that I absolutely love. I think Latvia's debut entry in 2000, the song My Star by Brainstorm, was a perfect little pop rock song by a band that is probably one of Latvia's biggest musical exports and have really, really had a great career before and after Eurovision. So that's one of my favorites. And I think that San Marino's debut in 2008, Complice by Mio Dio, they're actually San Marinese, And they came in dead last, but I think that Compliqué is a highly, highly underrated and beautiful song.
It was all this time.
Always. Isn't it just? But I it's always great to see when a country dips its toe into the pool and they go out and really try.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were saying with Azerbaijan and Georgia, they come out and say, this is us.
We have a crock pot. Oh, wait, no. They're on this is
us. Do you think they get This Is Us over in Europe? You think that's a big export?
I mean, it's a big enough thing here that I would think so. Yeah.
I was weirded out to find Family Guy as a prime export over there.
Yeah. Oh,
American television. Any popular American television should be pretty big over there.
Well, if you're listening to us from, you know, across the ocean, let us know. Did that crockpot joke land?
It didn't barely land in here.
Yeah.
Tell us your favorite references that you understood. 12 points USA on Twitter. let us know on a scale of 1 to 10, how confused are you by this show on a regular basis? Hopefully it's a low number.
In any case.
Yeah, who am I
kidding?
Thanks
for that burning question.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It was like one that allows us confused. To dig into our knowledge base.
Yeah. Thanks again, Jose. Really appreciate it. And that was one that came into us directly via email. So again, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you want to submit your own. And we try to answer one of these at least every week. So keep them coming. We have a pretty deep pool of these to draw from.
So deep! You realize how deep it's got to gush from?
Never say that again.
Yeah, that was a one-off.
This fountain's like 20
that.
Feet tall. Okay.
Slaps the side of the fountain. This thing can
kill
hold
so many pennies.
That's right.
All right, we got news from Norway.
Yeah.
We got news from a lot of places.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Somehow we're going to have our second discussion about people with angel wings.
Mm-hmm.
It's ticks, surprising, mostly
surprising
no one, I think.
A couple, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a surprise that they won. It's not like they were the dark horse candidate. But
no, right. Not at all. Ticks, I mean, the fact
I don't
that
know who wanted him to, you know.
Norwegians, did you see the public vote?
Norwegians
wanted Tix to win. He's the most downloaded and streamed artist in Norway right now. He
legally and illegally,
I'm sure. He's come up with a number of big hits on the Norwegian charts. He is the soundtrack to a lot of Norwegian students' senior years of high school and the debauchery that follows it. And as we learned a bit more about Tix as a character and Andreas, the man behind Tix, he's actually a really fascinating character and fascinating real human being. So yeah, Fallen Angel took the win decisively in Norway. And I have to say, I think we were a little bit harsh on the guy. The song, to be fair, not my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to be honest and clinical here, but he's been getting a lot of hate, especially from people who are really, really, really hoping to see a return of Kaino.
We need to make like a public service announcement video about how to stop being a douchebag during Eurovision national final season. Because I feel like it would get a lot of traction. You know what I mean? Like, someone needs to do something, for crying out loud. Like, I love Kaino as much as anyone. You all know this. I was rooting
yes,
for
we do.
Him. I oh, was yeah. rooting for a lot of songs in this national final. Tix was not one of them, and there was just that feeling as the eliminations are going on towards the end where it's just like, he's going to win this thing.
It's Tix.
I know it. And just feeling like, do I even want to watch this coronation of this thing I don't like? So, like, I get being upset about it and so on, but there's no reason to be as angry and visceral as some people have been. And I will admit, I haven't taken the tweet down. You can look it up on our Twitter account. I said, I'm going to paraphrase here, but I believe what I said was, Tix looks like what you see when you look up the word douche in the dictionary. Because...
Be honest, that's Tix, not Andreas.
The character, that's kind of the idea to a certain extent, right? That he's a professional douchebag, sort of a character that I mean, if you look at the lyrics of some of his songs from yesteryear.
Listen, yeah, I'm sure that guys in LMFAO are perfectly tolerable in person, but their personas aren't. So I'm sure Andreas is perfectly fine. Tix is not my cup of tea either. That's three down. Derek, what's your opinion on Tix?
I think one interesting thing to note is the Norwegian national final was entirely televote. There was no jury.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, very true.
And I'm really curious how that's going to translate in the contest. If he's going to see the same kind of traction, or if it's just going to completely get ignored.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine he will. The popularity he has in Norway is undeniable, but he has 40 other countries he has to impress now, and I don't know that that it's going to be there. I mean, do people in, you know, even Sweden next door, do they know about this guy in Iceland, in Denmark, in France, in places like that?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's early to tell. I think that Tix has, and I'm talking specifically about Tix, not necessarily Andreas. The trajectory of the career of Tix is so tied into a Norwegian youth phenomenon called Ruse. My Norwegian's not that great, but basically he got his start creating music for, I guess, the closest analogous concept I can come up with comparing it to an American phenomenon would be like if Rush Week for fraternities and sororities in the U.S. had theme songs.
Needed a theme song?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's sort of the wagon that he hitched himself onto at the very beginning of his career, creating
general
these
youthful
big
debauchery.
Basically, yeah, because there's this phenomenon called Rusa, I think it's pronounced. I'm learning about it, it's sort of a senior year of high school equivalent. Everybody go out, get trashed, debauchery. You're celebrating the end of your high school career, you know, last hurrah with your friends. So it's like prom meets Rush Week meets being 18 and stupid. Is that about what you guys are observing when you're learning about this Rusa rabbit hole?
I kind of fell into America. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, we're all in older demographics. We'll say that. And yeah,
I remember what it was like to be 17. That's
speak for yourself, I guess. It just comes across as very obnoxious.
Oh, it's obnoxious, yeah, you know.
And it's proud of its obnoxiousness, you know. But I guess, again, in the defense of Andreas, the person who plays this character, there's an interview that, Sam, you had sent out where he was out of character and talking about mental health, which is something he's very, very, very passionate about, and talking about a time when he was very close to taking his own life. Because he just felt like he had this character that everybody loved, but nobody loved him as the person that he put everything into this character that he had maybe come to resent a little bit, to maybe outgrown a little bit, and just feeling like he wasn't there. He was empty and
right.
It's a heck of a story. He talks about how like he was right there at that moment on the brink where he's like, I am checking out. I'm doing this. And his cat walked up to him and was all cute and cat-like, which was apparently uncharacteristic of said cat, and just gave him enough pause to be like, okay, no, I want to get better.
Right.
I want to do this. And that's really something. There was a maturity in that interview that you absolutely do not get from this character. Honestly, when they announced him as the winner, he became emotional in a way that I really wasn't expecting, because the character is so antithetical to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And also knowing his backstory as well. I mean, the name Tix comes from the fact that Andreas has Tourette syndrome and was bullied quite harshly as a kid. And the bullies in his younger years called him Tix. And he took that weapon that was used against him and carried it as a mantle and a shield and claimed it as his own and turned TICS into TIX and created this identity. A really interesting moment that I saw from that interview is as he's as Andreas talking about hitting that lowest point, and you see him really being very open, very vulnerable. And at one point he puts his sunglasses, which is a very Tix thing, and he puts the sunglasses on. And he basically powers through the rest of the story because he feels that going in as Tix gives him the confidence, even if it's just an artificial, I can power through this. And then after a certain point when he's like, okay, I'm okay, he takes the sunglasses off and he's Andreas again. It was a very, very interesting character study in just how does a person bolster themselves in such a way that they can present their story. It's a very interesting dynamic that he's created. And I didn't appreciate that until after he had won. And I regret not understanding Andreas / Tix at the time. You know, even this time last week, I didn't get it. And now I kind of do. I don't think I ever will fully, just because I'm not in his shoes. I'm not in his sunglasses and his headband and his big furry coat, but I can empathize more now. And I honor that.
I just wish the song was better.
Yeah.
You know, he turned out to be way easier to root for than I ever would have thought. But then it's like, oh, but the song's still just kind of...
We're still saddled with Fallen Angel.
Yeah.
The problem, musically, and again, this is not me talking about Tix or Andreas. I can't think of the song in my head and have it play through my brain without it transforming into the song The Reason by Hoobastank. And I don't know if anybody else can do that. It's just the chord progression and the sort of epicness in my brain...
Listen, he's not a perfect person.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There's many things he wishes he hadn't done.
Anyway.
And remember Hoobastank? Can we move on to a close neighbor?
Well, you have to hop over Sweden.
They share a northern border.
They do, they do. Mm-hmm. Way the heck north up there.
By way of Murmansk, it's Finland.
Speaking of mental health related
discussions.
Yeah. We're getting off to just the most happy-go-lucky start here, you guys.
Should we like talk about Spain first, just to have a palate cleanser?
No, let's do Finland.
Okay. Just
do Finland. I mean, just let's talk about like objectively this song. I feel like I'm not enough of a 10th grader to appreciate this song. This is excessive.
We are, of course, talking about Dark Side.
Super Dark Side. I have no qualms about.
So yeah,
making my opinions about this song known. I do. It is what the young folks would call cringe to me. This is just excess. It's excessive.
I've said my piece about this song.
Yeah.
In fact, I've written my piece about this song. I'm going to plug this right now.
Go for it. You wrote it. Plug it away.
Yes, I wrote a piece for ESC Insight. Shout out to Ewan, who I worked with a bit on the finer points and things like that. He was helpful in making sure that the point was being brought across in a way that wasn't just dark side bad or whatever, which was, I will admit, that's basically what the first draft of it was. Again, my issue with this, I talked about this in a previous episode. There is a line in the chorus. It's so it appears, I think, three times in the song, like the 27 Club headshot. We don't want to grow up. Which is basically just romanticizing suicide to a kind of horrifying degree that, like, we're so dark, we're just gonna die. Like, like, and that's on it. That's really problematic. It's the sort of thing that when a person who is vulnerable and at risk hears something like that, and they hear these sorts of things being lifted up as if they're cool, it can lead to really bad results. So I'm just very bothered by that particular content. As far as the song itself goes, I agree with Danny. It's really cringy. It's really just over the top.
I don't know what other adjective there is to describe it. It's just so like, me, I'm 15 and I literally hate everything, including you, Dad. That's the vibe.
It's Papa Roach.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, it's
oof, it is.
Papa Roach, I mean, right from the start, you get these Linkin Park or like it sounds a lot like Bring
Don't
Me the
insult
Horizon.
Linkin Park like that. I'm actually gonna defend Linkin Park.
There are bands that have done this better, like Linkin Park, like Bring Me the Horizon, honestly. This is just a worse version of that. And because it is so like try hard to just be edgy and
tried so hard, it won.
Yeah, very convincingly, I hate to say.
Yeah, by the way, this was a great example of what it would be like if the point system for Eurovision wasn't known to anyone as they were revealing the points, because like they did the jury votes, right? And I think Blind Channel was a little bit, I think they were winning by a tiny bit after the jury vote.
Yeah, right? There was about a 10-point margin between Dark Side and, at the time, with the jury's second place, Lie.
So
72 to 62.
Yeah.
That was just above Hurt, Axel's song, with 56 points.
Yeah, and then they
wanted Axel so much.
Yeah, so they start doing the public votes, right? But it's not entirely clear how many public votes there are to get. So it's like, you got 20, you got 30, and then somebody got like 100, and they thought, oh wow, that might be enough. That's really, really good. And then they get to Blind Channel, and it was like, oh, Blind Channel, you got 5 billion points. And it was like 500-600 points from the public, wasn't it?
479.
Oh, okay.
And the song that came in second, which was I Love You, had 150 points. So it was proportional to the number of votes cast. So Dark Side got just over 75,000 public votes, making about 54.3% of the total.
Oof.
So that's about just over three times as many as the second placer, which is I Love You, which had about 23,000 and a half, give or take. But yeah, that's a lot. It's almost rupee in its runawayness.
Can we talk about I Love You for a moment? The performance of that?
Go for it.
Which was basically like a gay Blade Runner movie.
Excuse me?
I don't know how else to describe it. It was incredible. It was amazing. And like the guy had a thing where it was like you could see his brain out of his head. And,
was it like watching a Eurovision song version of a club that Stefan is describing?
Honestly, it kind of was.
Okay.
That song had everything.
Dan Cortez.
Uh-huh. DJ Baby Bok Choy was up there on the ones and twos. It was great. It was super, super fun. And this was a pretty solid group. But yeah, Blind Channel, they're a big deal there. And I think they were 75% televote.
Yeah,
25%. So when the public is that into one of the songs, and that's just it.
Yeah.
There
is something to be said. And again, I've kind of said my piece on the song. I think it's kind of derivative, a little bit dated. I'm happy to see diversity in terms of song style at the very least. You know, I keep saying, I'm going to be very beggars can't be choosers right here. It's sort of like saying, oh, I wish there were more rock. I wish there were more rock. I wish there was more hard hitting. So, oh God, no, not like
not
this.
Not like this. My yeah. God, not like this.
That's where my
paw
head is
curling.
Is
yeah, yeah.
Curling. Yeah. So, if the lyrics to this were more mature in whatever way, I would be all about this.
If it were dealing with depression in a different way, then yeah. Mm-hmm. Or dealing with
youthful rebellion.
Yeah, rebellion in that way. But yeah, it's just a bit ham-fisted. And I think Finland, more than any other country at Eurovision, has a sort of stereotype and the sort of view of, oh, they can send rock. They can go a little bit more edge just by the fact that, since Lordi, since Teras Betoni, Hanna Pekarinen. So, I mean, they've sent some really strong rock songs in the past, and it's been a couple of years since they have done that. So I think there's a bit of a legacy of harder hitting, at least the image of harder hitting songs coming from Finland in particular. I just think this could have been done
more tastefully.
Yeah. I'm sure that we will revisit these points when we go into our actual contest preview shows. Probably, I'm guessing, in April, we'll probably start those up, give or take. So, but in the meantime, shall we roll on to Spain?
Yes, or? Let's go to Spain at last. Yeah. Let's take a vacation.
Okay. Si. Okay. Ah, sí, por favor. Yeah, so like we had said before, it was going to be a two-song national final for Blas Cantó. And as we kind of predicted, the ballad Voy a Quedarme, I'm Going to Stay, wins with about a 58% of the vote tally over 42% for Memoria.
Pretty close.
Surprisingly so.
Yeah, Blas almost beat Blas.
But in the end,
Blas... Didn't even matter. Oh.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, because I had heard that Blas is going to, you know, meet Blas out in the parking lot and, you know, punch Blas in the face. So, yeah.
I pay to see that.
Yeah. I'm just picturing, like, the Batman exclamation weird words off, like pow and bam, knock. And there's one that just says Blas.
Blas.
Blas, yeah.
Love it.
I'm a little disappointed one of them didn't just clean house. I mean, that it was kind of even makes me a little nervous for his result, that neither song really stood out.
I mean, that's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
I do think Voy a Quedarme was better, so I'm happy that it won, but I'm not super huge on either song, honestly.
Well, Spain, better luck next year.
Oh, no.
Who's aww. Next? Oh.
Okay, so that's basically the three songs that were released this past week. We'll talk about some coming attractions. You know, of course, there's invariably this time of year going to be stuff that happens between the time that we record the show and we release the show. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We did have a handful of semifinals this past weekend, though. So why don't we start out with Estonia? They actually had their two semifinals in pretty quick succession on a Thursday and a Saturday, narrowing their two dozen songs down to 12. We have a disappointment, I hate to say, in Estonia. Gramophone out.
Boo.
What a shame.
Boo. Two grams of fun.
I'm so bummed. That song was great.
Yeah, Lost in a Dance was a bop.
So good.
So, but I mean, at least for me, I had the sadness of Gramophone getting booted kind of tempered by the fact that Rettle's song Tartu qualified. And I might be the only one out of the four of us that's enthusiastic about this. Mm-hmm.
I believe you are correct.
You are, yes.
Okay. The reason that I'm so stoked about this, it's because the band Redl is made up of half of the band Winnie Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, that's right. Redemption, yes. For Winnie the Pooh.
Yes. Some of you may remember either just from having watched the national final in 2013, or just by listening to me and Ewan and a bunch of our friends geek out over it in the years following. But Winnie Pooh came in third in the national final, AC Lyle, that year, with a song, a legendary song called Mea Kundimes Ex Korsakov Es Elelati, which, if you have the time and the inclination, hop onto YouTube.
I thought you were going to say, hop onto Google Translate.
And just look up Estonia Eurovision 2013, Winnie, spelled Winny, and the rest should lead you where you need to go. Give yourself a good 5 minutes.
Five?
3 to watch and 2 to just digest.
It's a process. Yeah.
And then a cigarette afterwards.
Yeah. And just let that wash over you, and to think Estonia nearly sent that to Eurovision in 2013. And instead they sent it. They should have. So for me to see Redl kind of carrying the banner that Winnie Pooh had carried, it makes me very, very happy. Talking about, we want more diversity in music at Eurovision. We don't want all pop all the time. Mm-hmm. Listen to Tartu, listen to Winnie Pooh, and just let us know what you think. Again, tweet us, 12pointsUSA, email us, let us know what you think. I would love to hear people's reactions to Tartu or Me Kundimes Ex Korsakov Es Elelati. Let us know what you think.
Or the Poots.
The Poots is a different thing.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes, our dear Pooty Poot, Yuri Pootsman, has made it to the final.
We honestly have to publish a spreadsheet on our Twitter account, like, about all of the different code names we've developed for everyone, you know.
Yeah. So we have Uku Suviste. Mm-hmm. Should we have a pithy nickname for Uku?
He's just Uku, you know.
All right.
Never deserved.
So yeah, it'll be Pootypoot versus Uku versus Coit, the dramatic chipmunk on Blue Steel Tume. They will all be in the national final for Estonia, duking it out.
And it's almost certainly going to be one of those three.
Come on, Tartu.
Yeah.
But yeah, most likely.
Assuming it is one of those two, do you have a favorite? This is a question for everyone.
I mean, it's male ballad versus male ballad versus male ballad.
I haven't been following Estonia, so I don't know these songs, but I think I said last year, Uku's a great performer and he has a great voice. I would love him to come back with something that isn't Christian rock. It wasn't Christian rock, but it had that vibe, you know.
Well,
I think his song this year is better than the song last year.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I have to confess.
Uh-oh.
I have tried to resist the reality. No. I think I kind of like Uku's song.
Okay.
I feel weird about it, but I kind of like it. I don't know. It's
no
weird.
Shame.
All
no
right.
Shame.
Well, join us next week on 12 Points from America, where we guillotine Eric.
No, I mean, I think Coit's song is effective and all of that. I thought his performance of it was not great. So it's probably a step down there for me. I think a decent number of folks are going to be like, well, Uku didn't get his chance, so we're going to give him his chance again, no matter what the song sounds like. But
They
didn't do it to Axel. That's true. But this is a better song than What Love Is,
yeah.
For Agreed. Sure.
Not Agreed. A hard step to make, but good to hear it.
Anyway, we will find out what Estonia is sending on March 6th. They're going to have a little bit of time between now and their final. Get everything worked out. Work all the things out.
I never knew what Estonia would send. That's all. I'm done.
Okay. You all right there? Mm-hmm. Okay. We had our first semifinal in Portugal.
Great segue, everyone.
Yeah.
Got awesome.
It. I'm just trying to distance myself from Dan.
High fives all
around. Yeah, good. Yeah. So yeah, what's going on in Portugal? No showstoppers, what I've heard.
It depends on who you ask. I thought that there were a couple of really solid songs in there. So the songs actually that generally speaking, most of the ones that we had discussed have gone through. I know that, Eric, you were a fan of Love Is On My Side by the Black Mamba.
Very much so, yes.
I was really feeling the Fado song, Na Mais Profunda Saudade by Valeria, and Contramal by Sara Alfonso. Saudade, which is the sort of modernized Fado with a little bit of an electronic edge, that went through.
Modern Fado.
Yeah. The motto, is it? No, it's not. Nobody calls it that.
Fabia Maya with Delroy Lindo. I'm sorry, Dia Lindo.
Yeah, there you go. Really, the only song that we were kind of hyping up that didn't make it through was Miguel Marroco and Girasol, which was very sort of, that was a sort of Bell and Sebastian-y one that you were liking,
yes,
wasn't it?
Very Bell and Sebastian-y. Yeah. And yeah, oh, great, great tune. Just didn't get there.
Yeah, but the fact that he was there at all, I think he was good there as a, as an independent artist, not necessarily one that was invited by RTP. So it was a really cool moment for him. So, but yeah, the second semifinal will be coming up this weekend. We will have 10 other songs competing for 5 slots in the final. That'll be on March 6th.
And all right, we go back to Sweden. Melody Festival is still happening. Great.
Now hang on there, Danny.
Okay. Got to hear about Tushy.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. He said
Tushy. I have extolled the virtues of Tuse Chisa many times on this show. Going back quite a long time, I said, keep an eye out for Tuse Chisa. And wouldn't you know it, he showed up this year, and he has released, dare I say, the best Swedish song to this point by a good margin, I think. I am a little bit biased, but I also really think it's great.
Even more than Ranorama Ding Dong?
I know it's tough, but yes, I think so.
Even more than Tater Tot?
Tater Tot?
Daughter Tot, yes.
Daughter Tot.
Daughter Tot.
Little Tater Tot.
Yeah.
This is why we need a cheat sheet.
Laser Tot.
Laser Tot.
Laser Tot. All right.
Yeah. I feel better about calling her Laser Tot.
I mean, you know, all these things, you know, Estee Lauder competition, you know, Jedward Squidward.
All right, we really do need to come up with the glossary. I'm there with you guys.
Just set up another site that's just like, what the hell is 12 points talking about?
Yes. But yeah, we did have two qualifiers from the semifinal at Mello this past weekend. Tuesday, as you mentioned, with the Song Voices. And Eurovision 1999 winner, Charlotte Pirelli with the song Still Young. She is back, qualifying directly to the final. And going to the second chance round is Clara Hammerström with the song Beat of Broken Hearts. And Alvaro Bedroom Estrella with the song Baila Baila.
Yeah.
Good to see Alvaro doing well. That's just the Chilenophile in me just going, woo, viva Chile, mierda. But I'm biased there.
What else is new, Sam?
What, me being biased about anything pro-Chilean?
Yes.
Yeah, let's be real here. All right, so now that we've discussed the national final side, both the big shows and the semis, we have we got news from the United Kingdom. They have confirmed that James Newman will be returning for the UK.
Yay.
Yep. Took a while. They finally announced that James will be back.
They
supposedly
found him in the woods.
Supposedly, he said that he is going to be sending a bit more of an upbeat song, unlike the ballad One Last Breath.
Up-tempo?
Up-tempo, upbeat, maybe both.
One Last Breath was pretty upbeat in terms of tone.
It's all about people dying of suffocation, you know, the usual.
Yeah.
Real timely.
But yeah, according to what he had said in an interview with the BBC, he says that everybody wants a party, wants to have some fun. That's what I had in my head. I wanted something that people could dance to, even if it's just in their kitchen. So I think we can expect a bop.
Hoping for the best.
Same. Agreed.
A bop for the best.
I like him. Like, his music is good. It's solid. But he's engaging. He's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So very hopeful that the UK can come up with something good. And finally, in terms of confirmed news that we have at the time of recording, got word that the song from Serbia's Hurricane, which we know will be selected internally, will be called Loco Loco.
That's only half of a Four Loco.
Which Schwarzenegger movie is this one from?
Ooh.
It's a Spanish version of Kindergarten Cop. So yeah, Loco Loco, crazy crazy, or if you're speaking Chilean Spanish, crazy abalone.
Oh, like the tuna?
No, that's albacore.
Oh, sorry.
Abalone.
Is that like a clam?
It's like a clam, yeah.
Yeah.
Dig that crazy clam.
Oh, yeah.
What the kids go nuts for? They like those shellfish.
Mm-hmm. Even though at first I thought it said Loco Moco and they're just going to be singing a song about Hawaiian cuisine. Oh, the rice with the gravy and the hamburger patty and a fried egg on top. Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of that, but that sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's like traditional or semi-traditional fusion Hawaiian comfort food.
Is it? I'm sorry, I have more questions about the food. is the whole thing called Loco Moco, or is it just called Moco, or is it?
It's called Loco Moco.
Loco Moco.
Yeah.
Okay. And where can I get this on this continent?
I think if you talk to Kylie Minogue, she can get it for you.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I'll call her up.
Everybody's eating a brand new dish now.
Come on, Danny, make a Loco Moco.
Awesome. Well,
Serbia, hit us up if you want us to represent your country.
That's right.
Consider that our audition.
I mean, I could pass for Serbian, apparently.
You can, Derek. Yeah. My God, you can.
I don't even have to change my name. Send me to Czechia.
You see, my last name is just generic enough that I can go like half the countries in Europe. All right, so that is what we have for confirmed stuff from the past. Then we have our weekly bit of limbo news that's future for us, but past for you listening at home. So let us know how on the mark or off the mark we are.
It's not news yet, but it will be.
Yes. All right, so San Marino was originally supposed to been releasing their song on the 23rd of February. They announced, however, that they're going to push that back into March, so we will kick that can down the road off the side of a mountain in San Marino. Okay, moving on, Cyprus. Cyprus will be releasing their song El Diablo on Wednesday the 24th, or they have released their song on Wednesday the 24th.
Yeah. Everything seems to be getting pushed out. Like, there's been an unusual amount of stuff that hasn't arrived on time, so I wouldn't doubt if it actually wasn't here.
Who knows? But yeah, we're supposedly, in a perfect world, we'll be receiving that tomorrow in the future. In a similar vein, we will be getting Germany's Song from Jedward Squidward on the 25th. Jendrik will be releasing a song on the 25th. Supposedly there was a tiny snippet that was leaked onto Twitter, only about
Hopefully not.
15 second song, something about a ukulele. I think I heard something about a middle finger in there. I can't quite tell.
Oh, this better not be the year of the middle fingers.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. God.
And Finland.
If this clip is real, I just want to remind everyone again that it's important to not be mean to artists.
I'm worried about this one.
But that's all. It sounds... if you liked Electro Velvet from the UK, it might be for you. That's what it sounded like to me anyway. If this thing is real. And I feel like it probably is, because it gained a decent amount of traction.
Well, in an interview with the German delegation that I read today, granted it was translated, so I don't know how much was lost through the magic of Google Translate, Jendrik was selected pretty handily from the group of submitted songs by both domestic and international jury. That out of a 12-point scale, he got over 11 points out of 12. So handily the major selection from the group. And it looks like the delegation will be working with the Lithuanian team in some aspects in terms of the choreography or some other logistics.
It's for basketball.
Ooh. So we will see what happens. Again, let us know what your thoughts on Jendrik's song. We'll talk about it more in depth next week, I'm sure. The day after Jendrik gets his song out there, Maps from Ireland.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that. See what Leslie Roy is serving up. Hopefully it's not just... a Yeah Yeah Yeahs cover. But if it is, I'd be cool with that.
Are you kidding? That song is... I feel like I said this when we were hosting trivia some weekend, but I could have written Maps.
But you didn't.
I didn't. That's the thing, I didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited that Leslie is back. I'm so excited that we're going to get this song. And I hope it's good.
I hope
it's good.
All right. So, okay. Now we're talking about... future for us as well as future for you, assuming that you're listening to our podcast on the day that it's released, Saturday, the 27th of February. We will have the reveal for Anna Soklic's song in Slovenia. We don't have a title or anything for it yet. We hear rumors that it's going to be a bit more upbeat than Voda last year and that it will be in English. Other than that, your guess is as good as ours. Also have the second semifinal in Portugal, which should be fun.
Got a gun for a real weirdo this year. I need another Telemovish.
That may have been Saudade in this past week's. You'll see. And finally, semifinal four, the final semifinal in Sweden. So we've got the returns of both the Mamas from last year, as well as Erik Sade, who represented the country in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the return to Melodifestivalen of Tess Merkel. Now, no relation to Angela.
I was going to say, Angela's cousin?
Well, actually, you know what? Maybe. Who knows? I haven't asked her. She is best known as a member of the Schlager Disco Legends, Alcazar, who tried to represent Sweden in 2003, 2005, 2009, 2010, 2014. Very, very well loved within... Swedish music scene, within fans of Schlager, that very specific upbeat genre of pop.
Okay.
And we'll see how she does as a soloist. If you're looking for that Alcazar feeling, we'll see if Tess is bringing it this year.
Ask your doctor if Alcazar is right.
I was going to say, I need a nice crushing tablet of Alcazar.
What side effects would a prescription of Alcazar?
It's one of those ones that has a bunch of them. It's just like, if you experience bleeding from your eye sockets, please contact a doctor.
Discontinue use immediately.
Yeah.
It's a placebo.
All right. So that is all I've got.
Oof.
San Remo's coming up next week.
Yeah.
So hold on to your butts. There's going to be
a lot.
A lot of Italian TV in your very near future. So brush up on your Duolingo in the next couple of days. Get your coffee. Get your espressos going on. And good luck ever getting sleep again, because there's going to be probably about 25 hours of TV
Eric, didn't you watch San Remo last year and you vowed never again?
That is correct. I did not make it through the entire final, and I tried. I could not believe that they got down to the final three, and there was somehow still like 4 hours left, and I just gave up.
My thing is, like, from all I know of history, it goes against everything I know. Italians liking music. It's just weird. It doesn't add up to me.
San Remo. Shout out to San Remo. Friend of the show. And folks, we have one other thing we want to talk about.
Yeah, speaking of watching national finals.
Yes. Folks, after the final of Melody Festival, and ya boys and gal, 12 points from America, throwing an after party, and you can come because we're doing it on the internet.
Your presence is requested.
That's right. If you may have seen us talk about this or tease this a little bit on social media. But yeah, we are throwing a national finals after party of sorts. Basically, what's going to happen is right after Melfest is over, we're going to go live on YouTube. We're going to hang out. We're going to talk about how to say one or whatever.
Uh-huh. Don't jinx him. Don't jinx him.
Fair enough.
Jinx.
I said or whatever. It's fine. Talk about what happened. I think there are going to be a couple other songs released that same day. I think Iceland song is out that day. So we'll probably be talking about that. But basically, we just want to hang out with all of you. Come ask us questions. We're gonna have a special guest or two, we think, that's going to come and talk and just sort of shoot the S, as it were. There will probably be booze involved. There will be lots of goofabouts and wackadoos and flugelhorns and just whatever. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be super, super fun. We really want you to come hang out with us and enjoy a lot of silliness. You'll get to see what it's like when we record this show before we edit out all of the jags that you would not believe.
They have no idea.
Oh, God, we're the worst.
It's going to be awesome. So, again, immediately after the final of Melfest on March 13th, hop on YouTube. We'll send out links and things like that. But if you look up 12 Points from America on YouTube, we're on there. And that is where you will be able to watch us be idiots for an undetermined amount of time. And you get to be an idiot with us.
Yay!
I probably shouldn't have put it that way. Yeah, but, you seriously. Know, it's
accurate.
It'll be fun. Come watch us be funny, hopefully. That's the plan, anyway.
We'll try our damnedest, just to keep you entertained. That's all it's really about, right? Keeping you guys entertained?
It is.
Yeah, yep. It totally is. Ah, well, I'm excited about that.
It's really going to be a blast. I think.
I have to revel in the situation that was Sam saying, I'm excited about that, and being met with abject
absolute
silence.
Wow, thanks, guys. God, it feels like my senior prom all over again.
Who's excited? I am.
It's going to be awesome. Tune in on the 13th. Who knows what could happen? I don't. I can't see the future. We've talked about this. We haven't heard El Diablo yet. We tried and we can't because the laws of time and stuff don't work that way. We're sorry.
Well, I'm going to keep working on how to figure out how to screw around with the space-time continuum so I can hear El Diablo before we end the show. Yeah, so I'm going to keep tinkering on my machine. So I suppose we will reconvene next week, same channel.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody, until next time, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop
listening now.
Should we roll the music again?
Yeah, let's.
All right, here we go.